back at it for season two. Somehow cancel culture didn't get a hold of us after season one. Craig Anich, Eric Long, back in the saddle. My raspy voice you'll be hearing all night long as I'm fighting off a cold. But gentlemen, how are we doing tonight?
Amazing. I have a voice.
Yes, you do.
I feel great.
I feel terrific. I can breathe out of both nostrils very well.
Hey.
And I'm glad to be back. The boys well, now, are
now
back.
We're just rubbing it in here with your dual nostril threat here.
Yeah, some back. Of us have allergies, Eric. Not cool.
Yeah.
We're season
some quarterbacks two. Are dual threat quarterbacks. Eric's a dual nostril breather over here.
That's right. That's right. Bitch. But we're excited that we're back for season two, though, guys. We haven't got canceled, as Kyle has pointed out. We're ready to go to give you, the listener, the worst fantasy football advice you can get on the market. So pay
attention.
We'll
try
to
get canceled this season.
Yeah. And with a sales job like that, it's time to introduce season two sponsor this year. Our friends over at SeatGeek.com have elected to sponsor the Dynasty League podcast for year two. So for all of our listeners, whether you are down in the States and can actually get yourself to an NFL game, or you just want to go to a concert, event, hockey game, whatever, we don't care, up here in Canada, make sure to use the promo code DYNESports, D-Y-N-E-S, sports with an S at the end of it, no space in between, all one word, at checkout, and you'll get $20 off your next order.
Do they do CFL?
They do CFL, Kurt.
Where were you yesterday?
I knew we shouldn't have bumped our recording date here.
Damn it.
Unbelievable.
That's my fault. That's on me.
Yeah.
All right. Draft season is upon us, gentlemen. Yes. And what better way to start than by going through some of the biggest landmines that you need to navigate for this upcoming season. So the theme of episode one of season two is our do not draft lists. And I figured before we actually get into our lists here, we could just round table this. And we could go through what is your Eric Long House of Horrors story of a player you drafted and it immediately went wrong and you will never touch with a 100-foot pole ever again in fantasy football?
Well, before I do that, let's not only touch on the theme of the episode, but the season arc that we have, which is we explain the parameters behind what we're talking about. And when we say do not draft, we're not saying if they're still around in round 15, still don't pick them. We're saying if they're available where they're being taken, maybe look somewhere else. And later in the draft, if they're still there, maybe get them. Do not draft them at their current average draft position or ADP.
That is the fine print on this episode here, courtesy of lawyer Eric Long over here. Yes. Stickler for the rules, but if not consistent from season one.
I appreciate that. So, oh my gosh, a time that I now can we are we talking fantasy football or fantasy anything? Because I got one that stands out. Back when we were doing our hockey drafts in high school, I for some reason thought that Zach Bogosian as a rookie and as a defensive defenseman would be a great one to pick in round 9. That one wasn't good and was an absolute disaster for me. Fantasy football. That's the one that stands out as the biggest fantasy bust ever. Probably the worst decision I've ever made. The worst decision I've made in fantasy football, again, was around my high school days. I've, as you can tell, I've since matured as a fantasy football manager. I drafted Ronnie Brown in the first round when he was a rookie in 2005, when there was plenty of established veteran running backs to be taken. And I don't know. And it wasn't even a keeper league. I got suckered into it, and I regretted it ever since. Yeah, I did.
You're drinking the Ronnie Brown Kool-Aid, which isn't a great flavor, just even on the surface right there. Brown Kool-Aid? I don't know about that.
All right, guys, we're getting canceled. That's it.
All right.
Good season.
Can I pick an entire team?
Oh, because it's last, yeah.
Can I just pick the entire team to not pick ever again?
Hold on. I want to circle back to Eric finally crossing the finish line here. What did you think I was implying when I said Brown Kool-Aid?
Thought you were being nothing but an asshole.
Unbelievable.
This part, we can cut this part out.
Yeah, I think we'll cut that.
We'll cut that one out.
Didn't think we'd get canceled so soon.
Yes, I was buying the hype back then that this guy was a wrecking ball and would be, you know, three down running back, goal line running back, yards, touchdowns. Didn't happen. Didn't happen, guys. Big regrets. Right. Craig, on to you.
Me. All right. Well, I mean, it's kind of a group thing for me. It happened with AJ Green. It happened once with Michael Thomas, and it's going to happen again at some point, and I need to stay the fuck away from it. It's those lingering, they should be back soon. I think it happened to Jamaal Charles once too, where it's like, oh yeah, he's injured. He'll be back in 4 weeks. It's another week after. And I'm still not ready. Still not ready. And you're just holding on to that player. AJ Green just screwed me for an entire season once. It's just that 6 week injury ended up being the entire goddamn season.
Yeah.
And I just, those types of injuries now for players, I just, nope, won't do it. Won't do it.
Okay. Craig's infirmary is closed for business, is it?
No, I don't. Any of those lingering, like, especially for a draft coming up, like, it's not too bad with Hopkins because he's out for PEDs, not injury, but it's that kind of thing where it's like the injured players, like, they're expected back during week six, so you can get them a little bit later, get some value, and then they just never come back. And by that point, you just wasted a draft position. You're screwed.
Well, anyone who's played in a fantasy football league with me within the last 5 years probably knows where I'm going with this one here. There's one player who has wronged me on so many occasions, whether he's on my team or not. I think three consecutive years in a row, Le'Veon Bell eliminated me from the playoffs because the team I was playing against him would inevitably be playing some trash team late in the season, and he would pile up like three touchdowns and 150 all-purpose.
He was such a monster.
Yeah. Mm. So I figured 2018, I've got the number one overall pick. I am going to take this entirely out of the equation here. I take Le'Veon Bell thinking he's going to do the typical, you know, I'm going to hold out and then maybe midway through training camp, I'll return to form. Nope. Never happened. Lost the entire league that year because punting the first 28 because it's a 14 team league.
Yeah.
Picks in the draft doesn't usually help you. So Le'Veon Bell, whether he's on my team or against me, is on my all-time do not draft list for that simple reason.
I remember that draft because everyone in the room was kind of just like, ooh, I don't know if you want to do that. And you're just like, I don't care. It's not gonna happen again.
He can't Kyle if he's on
he will
my
not
team,
kick me
right?
out of the playoffs.
Yeah. Yeah. Flawed logic right there. Good Lord. All right. Well, turning the focus ahead to 2022, obviously lots of people changing teams, lots of new head coaches, new rookie crop coming in as well too. But if we're focusing on the big four positions, and we'll go through them each one by one here, but quarterback, wide receiver, running back, and tight end, we are going to go through our, as Eric pointed out, do not draft at their current ADP value list and who we are shying away from here. So Eric, dealer's choice. What position would you like to start us off with here to kick off season two?
Let's just jump right out of the gates and go quarterback.
Who do you got for us?
I got Kyler Murray. I didn't like the decline in production of his rushing last year, and he's without DeAndre Hopkins for the first six games. Sure, he may play well after that, and he'll put up okay numbers, but where he's being taken, I think I'd rather someone else.
I was going to also say Kyler Murray, and it's more than just for Hopkins. The past two seasons, and you could blame some of it on Hopkins if you want last year for getting injured basically halfway through the season, but 2 years in a row now, Murray gets off to a flying start and then fades.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's one of those, he might be a hot start kind of thing, but if he's your quarterback towards the end, he could end up costing you with a dud 9-point game with no Hopkins. And how bad he did after that last year, and he's not starting with him this year. I have concerns. And not to mention all the crap that's been going around the Arizona Cardinals in the offseason. There was the Murray holdout. Then they finally signed him. Oh, but they had a study clause.
Mm-hmm.
And there was that whole thing blew up. So they decided they had to remove it because somehow that became public. Then there's the plan that Kingsbury had where he's like, you know what, Murray, I'm going to let you call the plays in practice for a bit and in the fourth quarter preseason so you know how hard it is. So that makes me think there's some other shit going on behind the scenes. I think the heat is on Kingsbury to actually do something and get to the playoffs this year. Then, the receiver that's brought in to kind of help out with Hopkins not being there, he gets arrested for, what was it, criminal speeding, Hollywood Brown. And to top it all off, the running back coach is being charged with domestic battery. So there is a ton of shit going on with the Arizona Cardinals. I don't trust Murray at his spot. I don't trust a lot of the Cardinals at their spot. That thing has a chance to go south in a hurry.
Yeah, absolutely. Right. Anytime there's a, we need you in the film room more than you currently are doing, so much so that we are putting it in writing as
That's
part of a
not fun.
contract. Not a great look. And yes, they've since, rescinded that and removed it from the contract and all of that. And Murray's camp is kind of saying like, oh, well, would we really be saying this if he was a white quarterback? And oh, there's players who have seen Peyton Manning leave facilities pretty early too, and all of that. Like, listen, you
What?
talk to anyone around the league who's been with Peyton Manning, Tom Brady, all of these guys. Yeah, maybe once or twice a season, if they've got a cupcake matchup coming up and it's their son's birthday or something, they'll skip out early. But those guys are living and breathing at that facility quite a bit there. And so I've never in my entire life of following this league ever heard of anyone being mandated film study. So that's coming from somewhere. You can't just chalk that up to, oh, it's the black quarterback thing here. It's based in reality at some point for them to put in a legal doc.
There's something going on there for sure. I got why did he even sign it in the first place if it had that in there he didn't like it, right? Like someone's not doing their job reading it, or he just again didn't study the contract and was like, fuck it, and just signed it. Like, I don't know, there's something weird going on there.
That attention to detail is biting him both on the field
Yeah.
and in the boardroom as well
Yeah,
too.
and for whoever says about Peyton Manning and Brady leaving early, well, when did they do that? In their 30s, when they're basically walking Hall of Famers already? Like,
There's still a lot to prove, not only with Murray, but as you said, this entire Cardinals organization has the potential to go sideways in a hurry this season and could very well do so if they don't get off to a hot start, because that's been their MO in the past. Hot start, poor finish, kind of limp towards the end of the season. And if they're going to be missing weapons out of the gate and having an incomplete coaching staff and a disjointed preseason and whatnot, doesn't bode well for him as well there too. The one thing that a lot of the quote unquote experts of fantasy football will throw around is the fact that Kyler Murray, I believe, trails only Josh Allen in rushing touchdowns since he joined the league. Well, yeah, that might be true, but if you look at that, it's kind of early heavy, and he's actually been fading last season. That was a down year. And again, if you're surrounding him with all of these quote unquote weapons on offense, you would expect him to probably be throwing the ball a little bit more. So is he going to take another step back in his rushing totals? Because if that's not there, that's been his safety net that he can rely on, that he would put up minimum of whatever 60 rushing yards and maybe flirt with a TD every game, right?
Yeah. You have to wonder too if it's part of why he fades during the season like that is just his size. If you're a mobile quarterback like that, you're going to likely take more hits and scramble more. There's more wear on your body, and he is not the size of Josh Allen, right? He cannot take those hits.
Well, I went in a slightly different direction, but same division here. And I am sticking with the NFC West, and I'm going with our friend Trey Lance in San Francisco. I
Don't
am
believe.
I I'm going to go the anti Ronnie Brown and not drink the hype on this one here, because this is someone who is getting a lot of preseason fantasy love. But if you watch their game tape, if you watch their practices, if you watch how the ball's coming out of his hand, if you read even the quotes about how he's throwing and his mechanics and his footwork and even some of the things that his teammates are saying, like they're not tearing him down, but they are not glowing about him either. And the preseason is usually when you hear nothing but best shape of his life, fastest I've ever seen him, strongest I've ever seen, added muscle. Usually people are tripping over themselves to throw all of these compliments out. Kind of sounds like, San Francisco is at this point just justifying why they took him so high in the draft and are handing him the job. But if there was a gun to their head and they needed to win a game, I wouldn't be surprised if Jimmy Garoppolo was actually who they would actually prefer at this point. So he's getting taken 103rd overall ADP, 100% draft in Yahoo leagues right now. Wow. And he's getting drafted ahead of people like Derek Carr, who just picked up Devontae Adams and has a pretty good set of weapons around him, and ahead of Kirk Cousins, who's got, yes, a deteriorating Adam Thielen, but Justin Jefferson is really stepping into his own, and a new offense in Minnesota, not having Zimmer out there, could really do wonders for that Vikings team. So I would easily take either of those guys over our friend Trey Lance, who is very much an unproven commodity and could fall flat on his face in year one.
Yeah. He could. I agree with that. Not to say that he can't make an improvement this year, but I mean, how many he started? What, one game last year?
If he did, it wasn't great. I feel like he did a lot of split snaps early on, but
yeah, not a lot of love at a preseason training camp from him. Not like your boy Jalen Hurts, though, Kyle.
Oh, I'm amazed we've gotten this far into the episode before Jalen Hurts has been brought up. Do you have another bold prediction you're going to attach to his name?
MVP. Well, are we going to? I was right. My bold prediction was true last year. I mean, if you want to venture into bold prediction now, we could, I suppose. But I'm just saying, look, he had one drive that, he went 6 for 6, 80 yards and a touchdown against a Jets defense. I get that. But the thing that I was the most impressed with was things like his mechanics, his footwork, how decisive he was when he threw the ball. A lot of improvement in that area. And for a guy like him, who is a raw talent, like a really good raw talent, to see him a bit more refined in his game is typically where you'd see guys take a next step when you have the fundamentals down like he did. Granted, small sample size, it was one drive, but it's not like his footwork's going to be amazing on that drive and then not be good. Like, obviously he's been working on it. So I don't know. That's my take on your boy Jalen Hurts. I'll keep my bold prediction for when we decide to have that segment, but that's what all I'm saying. I'm in a stark contrast to how you were describing Trey Lance. I decided to toss Jalen Hurts in there and give my 2 cents.
Anytime you want to heap praise on the Philadelphia Eagles, I'll happily turn the microphone over to you, Eric.
Roger that.
They got a lot of talent this year. I like their team this year.
I do too. Let's get to running back. Another premier position. A lot of names coming off the board early and often, especially in round one. This year, though, there are definitely some running backs that have question marks next to them. Who is someone who has flagged your radar as far as someone who you would probably avoid based on where they're going right now, Craig?
Oh, so this one, I mean, there's a few, but I'm going to go a little bit maybe off board. It was basically, I got convinced from someone on Reddit, of all things here. I would be nervous about Dalvin Cook. Not because of how the offense is going to work. I think it'll work really good for him in that offense. I'm more worried about re-injuring the shoulder. He had a torn rotator, I believe, in college. He tore his rotator and his labrum last year and didn't miss too many games from it. But there is a source here. I'm not sure the name of the website here. I can't find it right now. PubMed. They did a kind of PubMed. They did like a little sample about basically re-injuries with shoulder injuries, injured shoulders who have been separated kind of thing. And basically it comes down to is Dalvin Cook has about a 50% chance of re-injuring that shoulder this year. So a coin flip that he's going to miss at least some games, depending on how bad that injury is. He might need surgery, and then that's the season. Mm-hmm. So for him to be, I think he's the fourth running back off the board right now. And the injury too last year came late in the season. And I don't believe he had surgery for it, but I still think there's that risk with shoulder injuries, especially if it pops out again. So I'd just be concerned. I wouldn't say don't go for it because he's talented, but man, have a backup plan.
have Madison on your roster.
Yeah, I'm nervous about his shoulder.
So it's not a talent question. It's no. If you can't get him without his handcuff, you are very, very nervous
Nervous. I'm really nervous.
All right. Well, sticking with the NFC, I'm going to go and throw some shade at the Dallas Cowboys here, because Ezekiel Elliott is my stay away from with the Dallas Cowboys backfield. And this is a team who's you know, you want to talk about how Arizona's season could go sideways in a hurry. The Dallas Cowboys could go sideways in a big way based on who they lost this offseason, based on the fact that their head coach is hanging on by an absolute thread. And if they don't get off to a good start, Jerry Jones is might be on the sidelines himself coaching at some point this season. But Ezekiel Elliott is being taken 29th overall ADP. And he's going to get taken ahead of some running backs who have a lot of upside to them. We already know that Tony Pollard has eaten away steadily at that workload in that Dallas backfield. And frankly, if you put the two of them side by side and watch them out of the backfield, Tony Pollard's more explosive back.
100%.
They're based on his contract, getting those first team reps, but he's also in the last year of his contract. So this is someone who, if he's not producing, they'll just move on from him and it'll be the Tony Pollard show potentially midway through the season. So are you going to potentially burn a late second round pick, possibly early third rounder, depending on how big your league is, on someone who might not even be the starting running back by like week eight? I don't know. And I mean, you just look at that NFC East. Cowboys won the division last year, so they're not winning it this year. I mean, you got to go all the way back to 2003, 2004 for there to be a repeat winner. And they just lost some really, really important pieces to that offense, to that defense, leaders in the locker room, veteran presence. I would much rather take a flyer on someone like a Breece Hall, a J.K. Dobbins, a Travis Etienne, who are all getting taken after Ezekiel Elliott in drafts right now. And that has nothing to do with whether it's a redraft or a fantasy. I just like their outlook better in 2022.
Just a side note for those who are listening, both Tony Pollard and Alex Mattison are coming in their last year of their contract. Two guys who have performed incredibly well as backups, who I can't see not asking for more money to be the premier running back of a different team. So if you are in a keeper league, scoop those guys up. You're going to get probably a starting running back or a running back that's very involved in an offense for cheap to keep next year.
It's been 2 years in a row that Elliott's declined. The first year they blamed on his injuries, but what was last year's excuse?
Yeah, exactly. Tony Pollard looked good. Really, really good. Anyways, for me, maybe I'll get filleted for this. Maybe not. And this is strictly from... Anyways, I'm going to go ahead and say... I wouldn't draft second overall Christian McCaffrey. I wouldn't do it. I would take probably some others ahead of him. And maybe if he fell to the mid to the end of the first round, which I don't think he would really do because people would probably scoop him up. Maybe I would take him then. And it's 100% predicated on, do I feel comfortable that I will get a good amount of games out of him in a season? And frankly, I do not. To spend such a high value pick on a guy who has so much risk, who when he's on the field is borderline unstoppable, especially if you're in a PPR league. But how many games are you going to get out of him? Is he still going to be there for your fantasy playoffs when you need a player like that the most? I would feel more comfortable taking an Austin Eckler, who also has had injury problems himself, over Christian McCaffrey. I don't like the fact that, you know, they don't have a great quarterback moving the offense down the field.
How dare you? How dare you?
Maybe if he was in a more high-powered offense, like, I don't know, like a KC offense, then he's really, really good. But I don't know. I think the injury risk is too much. If you want to draft him there, that's perfectly fine. I wouldn't want to take him number two overall.
I want you to name names. Who would you take number two overall over CMC?
I just told you. I would take Eckler, but I also might even take Cooper Kupp number two overall if I was in that spot.
PPR, I'm assuming.
All right. Yes, PPR.
Wow, look at you. So you're drinking the Kupp Kool-Aid over the Justin Jefferson hype this season then, are you?
I'd still probably be on board with Justin Jefferson. I would just take Cooper Kupp ahead of him if it was number two. If I was the number two pick and I wasn't taking McCaffrey or wasn't taking Cooper Kupp, I'd probably take another running back over Justin Jefferson.
I'm very intrigued if you get the number two overall pick in our draft this year, Eric. We'll see what you do. Put your money where your mouth is.
I'm just going to panic and hit Christian McCaffrey and be like, well.
Auto draft. I told you off the top not to listen to my advice.
Right. That always happens where I end up doing exactly what I shouldn't every time.
Yeah.
For me, just to round off the second, honorable mention of do not draft to David Montgomery. I feel like Khalil Herbert will be a bigger part of that offense, strictly from a splitting time standpoint and the possibility of Khalil Herbert outplaying him. Do not draft David Montgomery at his current ADP.
All right, let's move it out wide, and I'll start us off here. At the wide receiver position, I'm going to throw it back to your friends in Arizona, Craig, and I am going to say, do not draft Marquise Hollywood Brown at his current ADP, which is 76th overall. He's going 100% drafted. He's going ahead of quite a few players that, putting aside the high-speed chase that he was involved in, you know, and even if he doesn't miss any time, I just like these players on paper a lot better than Marquise Hollywood Brown. Number one, Hollywood does have that kind of soft tissue injury that can pop up at a moment's notice. Ravens fans are all too familiar with it. Even when he is out there, you know, is he 80%? Is he 70%? When he's 100%, you can tell he's a game breaker, but how many games a season are you getting a 100% Marquise Brown out there? Kind of few and far between. And the results, you can see in his stats lines that it's panned out that way. He has huge swings in his production of, could go off for two TDs and over 120 yards, could have a game where he only catches one ball. Like, it's a very boomer bust with him. And those booms end up vaulting him back into the wide receiver one category for some teams, but you're going to have to take your lumps along the way too. Taking him ahead of players like Amon-Ra St. Brown, Adam Thielen, Chris Godwin, Hunter Renfrow, I'm much more comfortable taking any of those players ahead of Marquise Brown, who, let's face it, defenses are going to be able to key in on a little bit more down in Arizona through the start of the season with them missing Hopkins. You know, if he's able to stay healthy and Hopkins comes back and they're off to a good start, and as Craig mentioned, things haven't completely fallen off the rails, then yeah, maybe he's in line for a career year. But that's a lot of ifs that need to line up, and way too many for me at his current ADP.
Yeah, I agree. And I think you made a good point on a few of the other wide receivers that'll be around that that ADP as well. I would take all of them over him, because when you're in that part of the draft, like, you're not going to be getting a superstar who's going to put up, you know, two touchdowns and 100 yards every other game, or maybe every three games. Every other game is also a bit much. But you kind of want a guy who's going to be reliable, and guys like Hunter Renfrow, namely Hunter Renfrow, is a guy who's going to get you, you know, maybe 50, 60 yards on average a game. And maybe he'll have a big one for 100, but if you're especially in a PPR league, he's going to get you 7 catches a game. So I prefer that consistency, knowing that I'll be putting up, you know, normally 12 to 15 points a game PPR for a guy like Hunter Renfrow, for instead of Marquise Brown, who I just don't see the consistency. Yep. There's a few guys on this list that I would actually put on, but I'm just going to go out and say it, Craig. Tyreek Hill, I would not be drafting him mid second round. You know, he'll probably have a fine season, but again, more people I would take in that spot. You know, you have a guy like Keenan Allen who's being drafted a bit later than him. I know there's an injury risk there, but Keenan Allen, like Hunter Renfrow, gives me much more comfort in the consistency he'll provide, you know, game in, game out. I don't like how Tua throws so few passes downfield, where Tyreek Hill is the most dangerous. You know, not saying that Tua is going to be, I know a lot of people are on the Tua hype this year, and I'm still kind of iffy on that. I still think
the Dolphins are.
I still think he's a good quarterback, and Tyreek Hill is a great wide receiver. Together, I don't know. It's like steak and jalapenos. I love them both. Would you put them together? No.
I mean, maybe in like some kind of like cheese chipotle wrap kind of situation.
I'm talking, you know? Yeah, maybe in a wrap, Craig. Maybe in a wrap. But
Eric is pissing off a lot of Joe Rogan fans right now with the meat and the Rogan jalapeno.
Well, right. I'm glad you said
maybe
Hill.
Maybe I'll use another example. I love steak. I love mayonnaise. Would you put them together? No.
Sometimes in a sandwich, they go together. I'm just
saying. Oh, God, Craig.
Everything can go together in a sandwich. They're great.
I get it. Yeah, you're right.
I'm glad you mentioned Hill though, because I was kind of like, with where Waddle and Hill are going, I don't think one of them will make their ADP. The other one won't. I don't think there's enough of the ball to go around for them to both be taken where they are right now. So yeah, it could end up being Hill that doesn't make all those points. If he does, then sure, that's great for Hill owners. But whoever picked Waddle, they're probably going to end up getting less.
Yeah. So someone's going to be disappointed in that wide receiver.
One person, one person out of that pair is going to be disappointing this year. Yeah.
And let's not forget, Miami has a everyday fantasy tight end starter in Mike Gesicki as well. He's no Travis Kelce, but he's a guy who's going to he's a tight end well and above others that are going to get, he's going to get more targets and more share of the passes. Yep.
And they have a solid receiving running back this year too with Chase Edmonds. So
it's just a simple math thing at this point. You got to realize too that, you know what, even if Tua does take that next step and he has improved his mechanics and downfield accuracy and all these things that the Dolphins are claiming that he's done, that's fine. He's still not Patrick Mahomes. Do you really want Tua throwing it 45 times a game? Probably not.
That's exactly it, right? That's the concern. Like, he would have to have a Joe Burrow like season where Chase and Higgins both produce at a very high clip. Mm-hmm. I don't think Tua is going to do that. So one of those receivers, Waddle or Hill, are going to disappoint this year. Who knows? Maybe it'll be both. Anyways, for my pick, kind of the same area, I'm going to go with Stefon Diggs.
Ooh.
Wow. Yeah.
All right. You got to sell me on this.
I wouldn't have thought.
So he was good last year. He was not one of the top receivers, I felt, on a game to game basis. He had a couple big games and then there's a lot of quiet games in between. And I think part of that is with Josh Allen just being the quarterback that he is, kind of getting to that next step where he spreads the ball around more. He's going to notice that Diggs is going to be covered and he's going to still attract more attention. I don't think Allen has an issue going somewhere else, including looking at Gabe Davis. Gabe Davis could have a huge year, and that's going to really bite into what Stefon Diggs does. And right now, I mean, he's getting taken ahead of guys like, I'm sorry, I know it's not Aaron Rodgers throwing the ball anymore, but Davante Adams is still one of, if not the best receiver in the league. For him to be getting drafted behind Diggs, where Allen is just going to, he's going to be Allen. Allen was awesome last year and he spread the ball around. And I think if anything, he's going to spread the ball around more this year. So I don't like where, and again, it's not so much do not draft. It's,
well, the segment's called do
the
not
number.
Draft.
Yeah. It's the number nine pick right now kind of thing, right? Like, it's just like, I like CeeDee Lamb ahead of him too this year, just losing Cooper Kupp. He's going to get way more targets than, right? There was the triple threat last year with Kupp, Gallup, and Lamb. Well,
and you can Cooper, pinpoint sorry, the but... exact moment where Kyle's heart broke.
I know.
Oh man. Yeah. You're doing a valiant job of trying to sell this year. I'm just not buying what you're selling. It.
No, I'm not buying. That's what fine. You're selling too.
That's fine. I'm talking more. And again, I'm talking because I had Diggs last year, and in my mind, for where I took him, he disappointed. And I think it could end up being the same story this year with Gabe.
I hear what you're saying. You have an axe to grind. Okay, we get it.
It's not an axe to grind.
Craig with an absolute hatchet job on Stefon Diggs to start season two.
Yeah. You guys heard it here first. Stefon Diggs is not to be drafted at his current ADP because Josh Allen is going to feel like giving the ball to Gabriel Davis.
Feel like, yeah.
I'm literally taking the complete opposite stance here, and it's not just to be a shithead, but I'm not buying the Gabe Davis hype. I think he is someone who people are hoping comes out and has this breakout season, and oh, he's going to be this year's Hunter Renfrow, who goes into this like insane PPR darling. I don't see it. I think he's going to literally be maybe a few points better than he has been historically, but I just don't see that meteoric leap happening. And with the Buffalo Bills currently being a Super Bowl favorite this year, I don't think this is the year that they start getting kitschy or, you know, going out of their scheme to try and make things happen to spread the ball around a little more. I think they're going to stick with what they know, and that's that Stefon Diggs is one of the best route runners in the entire league. So I think he's still going to eat. I think he's going to be good. Do I love him in the first round? I don't know. I would have to see who's taken ahead of him, and it would have to be, you know, picking towards the back end of it. I wouldn't be reaching for him at, you know, pick six or something like that and taking him ahead of his ADP. But, you know, I definitely have more love for him than I do belief that Davis is going to be that guy this year in Buffalo, I guess I should say.
So last year, Stephon Diggs finished with, and this is a different, I can't find it on Yahoo, so I'm using a different fantasy data app, but he finished as the number 8 wide receiver last year. And that's okay. Not someone that I would want to be picking at the top of the first round.
Well, Cole Beasley disrupting the wide receiver room there, you know.
Is Stephon Diggs being taken at the top of the first round?
He's pick number 9, I believe, is his ADP.
On what platform, Yahoo? We're basing it on Yahoo, aren't we? Okay, all right.
Yeah, I thought Yahoo.
Sure. All right. Now, Craig, I'm curious. You always have a deep insight to players on your favorite teams. Is it entirely conceivable that if, let's say, Tua can't get the deep ball to Tyreek Hill and have him put up these massive numbers, is it conceivable that Tyreek Hill will throw a tantrum, further souring the relationship by calling out Tua for not giving, or his coaches for not getting him the ball enough?
Sure. Of course it's possible. He went off in the offseason this year saying that he was underutilizing the Chiefs offense in a season where he set a career high in receptions.
Good for him.
So, yeah, he could for sure.
Okay. Craig talking down to me like I should have known this.
No. He's already complained about it all offseason, being underutilized with the Chiefs, which is just ridiculous. So
what do you think? You better than me, Craig?
I just want to point out to this too. I'm just looking up the Stephon Diggs stuff. One more thing. He only had one game last year where he had over 20 points.
What was his floor though?
What was his floor? Yeah. What was his median?
5.1. We have a couple games of 5.1, 5.2, 6.9, 6.2. I don't know if this is PPR or not.
It doesn't sound like it.
There's some floor games there. And that's just my concern, is there's some of those games where Allen spreads the ball around and he's not going to get all the looks.
What is his median production? What is the standard deviation? Please tell me so we can get a... Oh, so now you're not an expert.
Eric, shut the fuck up.
Craig heard it here. Research.
you heard it here first, guys. Craig is throwing out statistics and goes, well, I'm sorry, I'm not a quantitative analysis expert. Trust me, bro. Me.
Oh, good lord.
Tight ends. I'm surprised no one said DK Metcalf. Who trusts Drew Locke throwing him the ball?
I think where Metcalf is going is probably right around where he's...
Yeah, he's too talented to let him slip further than where he actually is going. But yeah, he's like wide receiver 15 or something off the board. But anyways, tight ends. Start us off, Pipes. Who do you got? Tight ends, do not draft in 2022.
Darren Waller. He'll have a good season. There are a lot of mouths to feed in Oakland. Excuse me, Las Vegas. How many times will that happen? How many times will that happen? And how many times will I say San Diego Chargers, even though they've been there playing for years? I don't know. We'll see.
We're in San Diego.
Darren Waller. It's my pick. Good. Probably will have a good season. Probably be a strong tight end for whoever picks him. But hopefully you're not the one picking him where he's being drafted at the moment. Simple argument is too many mouths to feed. Got a Hunter Renfrow who catches a lot of passes. Now you have Davante Adams who's going to get a lot of looks. Yeah, I just think... just from the amount that needs to go around, a production drop might be in the books, in the cards, I mean.
How many other tight ends would you take ahead of Darren Waller?
I would take George Kittle ahead of Darren Waller. I would take Mark Andrews, Travis Kelce. I probably would even still take Kyle Pitts ahead of Darren Waller, and maybe Dallas Goedert as well.
Okay, so you've got him in the tight end 5 range then, do you?
Yeah, sure, maybe a little bit after that. I'd say maybe tight end 6 or 7.
All right, then. Mine, I'm going to go with Hunter Henry. Last year, it was all because of his touchdown streaks. He went on a crazy streak that I do not think is going to get repeated. He had something like 7 games in a row with a touchdown. I don't think that happens again. And not just because of maybe Mac Jones more comfortable with his receivers this year, where he doesn't have to find that safety blanket. I think Ramondre Stevenson, I believe he's the backup running back there. I think he's gonna be getting a lot of the James White passes out of the backfield. I think they'll use him a lot in the receiving game. I just think there's gonna be less targets going towards Hunter Henry, and they still have Jonnu Smith last year who disappointed, and I think he's gonna really come out strong this year. So there's just an extra tight end target that Jones could find. Like right now, so Henry's still going like that kind of middle of the pack with the tight ends there. Going right after him is Irv Smith Jr., who I think with this new Vikings offense has a chance to really, if they're going to be going more pass happy, he's going to be getting a lot of targets there. Tyler Higbee there with the Rams as well, going after him, and Gesicki as well, who's still a solid tight end. So I just think I would take them before I go for Hunter Henry. I might not even touch Henry at all. I might even go for Robert Tonyan, who's going like maybe 5 or 6 picks back, where if Aaron Rodgers calling out his receivers right now, right? Go to the tight end. So there's just a few tight ends there. I don't like how high Hunter Henry's going.
Yeah, Aaron Rodgers disappointed in rookie wide receivers. Who could have predicted that this season? My goodness.
He's going on another fucking acid trip, apparently.
Yeah, well, we
Yeah.
learned the other day that his Con Air look isn't just a coincidence. He actually has a Nicolas Cage head statue in his locker room. Don't know if you guys saw that or not.
No,
Wow.
my God.
Oh yeah,
What a
he's really going off the deep end here.
baller.
Things are getting weird in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Well, I'm going to go with someone who, if he did not play for a big market team, you probably wouldn't even be able to pick him out of a police lineup. And
Can
I'm
I
going to.
guess? Can I
Sure,
guess?
sure.
Is the tight end you are thinking of Dalton Schultz?
No, I thought about going with two Dallas Cowboys on my list, but I thought our listeners might think I'm just piling on at that point and being a bitter NFC East rival. But I'm actually going with tight end for the Chicago Bears, Cole Kmet, who is currently unfathomably being drafted in 81% of Yahoo leagues right now, despite doing nothing of real significant fantasy value throughout his entire career.
He's like the 15th tight end off the board. He's your backup tight end.
In 81% of the leagues, he's getting drafted?
Yeah, that might be a little much. Okay,
Yeah.
fine.
That's a little bit more than just backup tight end at that figure. 131 ADP right now. But to Craig's point, is going ahead of people like Irv Smith Jr. in Minnesota, who I really
Yeah.
think is going to have a big bounce back season. We saw a glimpse of it until he got injured last year, and he's just coming off, I believe it's thumb surgery right
The
now,
thumb, yeah.
but they're saying he should be ready for week one.
Yep.
And again, Cole Kmet, you look at the Bears, Justin Fields. I really feel for the kid because he's not even getting a chance. Like their offensive line was Swiss cheese last year. They did nothing to upgrade it. They let Allen Robinson walk, who again, was a corpse out there, but will probably end up having a bounce back year in Los Angeles, but just quit on that team because they were such a disaster. And Justin Fields has milliseconds to read the play and throw the ball before he's already got defenders in his lap. So I don't see a ton of targets coming his way, maybe just for virtue of the fact that they're probably going to be playing from behind so much. He might be one of those garbage time all-stars, but he is not someone that I would be drafting with the intent of actually dressing week in, week out at the tight end position, despite the fact that 81% of people in Yahoo clearly are.
Yeah, he's going to be another one of those touchdown dependent tight ends, and it's how often is that offense going to be in the red zone, right? Like,
We shall see.
There you go, boys. Made it through all of our do not drafts, as Eric pointed out. Once again, at their current positions, got to set your parameters to keep the fur
Yes.
ball over here happy. Like we said off the top, if you are planning on heading out to a concert, sporting event, or just special event, make sure to head over to SeatGeek.com. Use the promo code DineSports, all one word, for $20 off your first purchase. Gentlemen, pleasure as always. Anything you need to get off your chest before we sign off for next week?
Great first episode. Great first episode. It's a
Yes.
new season, new me. I came on time and prepared with things to talk about.
I'm
On
not gonna
time? He's
lie.
on time. He's on time.
Not once did Eric pick up his laptop and wander around the house, rummaging through cupboards, answering with food in his mouth at any point. We didn't have TVs playing in the background.
No.
Cats didn't walk across the screen. This was a Pro Bowl like effort from you tonight, Eric Long. Smooth. So congratulations.
Y'all had to grow up sometime.